Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, we're going into depth about the basket to order rate. So this is all the people that make it to your basket and then subsequently buy or don't buy. Obviously, you want to get that ratio up. So let's get started. Hi, Ian. How are you doing?
Hi, Mark. I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Today, we thought we'd talk to everybody about one of the KPIs we haven't covered yet on the podcast, and that was the basket to checkout KPI. So we don't get into this with a lot of people at the beginning, the smaller people, because often we find the problem is in the add to basket. But if you are scaling and you're doing well, then this can be an important KPI to look at, especially if it's really low. Like we always say, we want it to be around about 35% to 55%. That's the range. Is that, would you agree with that, Ian?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, yeah, I'd say top end is 55% of people who are in the basket should then click proceed to checkout. But you find that we've seen it as low. I mean, I don't think you want it any lower than 35%.
No. I mean, actually, the other day I was doing some work and their basket checkout was 10%. And so obviously, like, normally
that's
I'd
extreme.
Go, it is extreme. And I'd go, this is a new client, go and look at the add to basket. But there's 10%. And I'm like, well, there's a problem. Got to fix that because you could quite easily double that or triple that. And then you've tripled the conversion rate, haven't you, if you've worked out what's actually going on.
Well, so to put it in just for clarity, obviously everybody's probably familiar with our conversion rate framework of what we do. You break the conversion rate down into three steps, and then it very easily you can see where your problems are. So you're add to basket on average, 10% of people add to basket. When they're in the basket, 55% of them click proceed to checkout. And when they're in the checkout, 85% go ahead and place the order. So what we're talking about now is that 55% of people who go from basket to checkout. So they're stuck with things in their basket. So it's a bit like if you compare it to a real bricks and mortar store, the customer has gone over to the particular shelf, picked a product up and added it in their basket. And what we want them to do is walk over to the till and start paying for it. But a lot of people will just drop the basket on the floor and walk out of the shop. And that's sort of what we don't want to do. So it's a very, very critical step. And actually, it's probably one of the easiest stats to improve because it's quite obvious what to do.
Yeah, we're dealing with anxieties, aren't we? There's the anxieties. It's like a bit like in a market. If you're in a market, imagine when you go on holiday to Turkey or something like that, and you've been looking at a carpet. It's the point at which you start haggling with the guy. The guy knows you're interested in it. You know you're interested in it. And you're starting to haggle, and it's his sale to lose, really. So it's you've got to overcome the anxieties that people have. Once they've decided that they actually quite like that product, it's a little bit of a negotiation then to make sure that they continue and actually buy it. So we need to uncover what those anxieties are, which we will have covered on the product page to some degree. But I think a lot of sites we look at before we work with them is that they kind of like sell on the product page and then they just forget about it on the basket page.
It almost just, a lot of the default shopping baskets of Shopify and Magento all look the same, and they really fail to address the needs of that basket. You know, it's almost just like, you know, the function is there. Yes, I can see the products listed in the basket page, and there's a button that says proceed to checkout. But that's just not enough. So you know, you are literally in the point where you're haggling over that rug.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's a disconnect because a lot of those baskets are just done by designers, and designers are just, you know, they want to make it look nice, but they don't necessarily have the knowledge to understand why they would put certain elements there and all that stuff. And I think they're getting
trick.
There.
That's the trick between they're getting there, but making it's look been a big nice. Gap. Mm. Yeah, making the trick is making it look nice, but also addressing the fundamental requirements of that basket page. And I think there's probably a couple of main things to think about. Number one, you have not made the sale yet. You are miles away from making the sale. So you have to think about those anxieties. So, you know, no quibble returns policy, free next day delivery, all those things need to be there, really prominently shown.
And I think a lot of people hide them, don't they?
They do.
They've got a good returns policy. They just hide it in the footer. So when you're like, well, bring it out, that's a sales point.
Yeah.
If it's not a sales point, change it if you can to make it better than your competitors. So it is a sales point.
And it, you know, the fact that someone's added it to basket is a huge intent to buying signal. You know, it's like a gift. You know what that customer wants and what they're looking at.
Mm.
So yeah. It should be a lot easier to then convince them to buy. So I think the first thing is you need to think about their anxieties because the sale has not been done yet. And then the second thing is what we talk about a lot, that there's only two ways to get people to buy now as opposed to next week or not buying at all. So you're trying to speed up the buying process. And there's only two ways to do that is you play with the element of scarcity. So you're saying that you're basically saying there's only a few left, things like that. You know, you're putting the stock things. It's in stock. We've held it for you for an hour. You know, I talk about the ASOS, how they say, you know, we hold it in the basket for an hour for you. So you're talking about scarcity there. You know, you don't want to miss out on the, oh, you know, it's not going to be there next week. You know, it's already been sold out. And then the second element is you give them a reason to buy now by taking something away if they don't do it sooner. So that what I mean by that is you can play with giving them an offer that isn't going to be there next week. And it depends on what you're selling, you know, depends on if you're selling a lovely, luxurious brand, which you might be a little bit skeptical about trying those things. We've seen the power of that.
Yeah.
You know, giving something, you know, that you're going to take away. It was a greater motivator than, you know, fear of loss.
You don't always have to do an offer, though. I mean, you can. If you remove enough of the anxiety, you will increase it, because people will have a basket at the moment that will be working to some extent, and you know, it could be the fact that they're not dealing with the delivery anxiety or the returns anxiety or whatever the anxiety is for that particular product. And it's one of the things I go through in the course is how to uncover that anxiety. And just in a nutshell, a lot of it is by doing, you know, what we talk about, looking at the middle reviews and going out there into the marketplace and pulling all those together and then finding what the key anxiety is for that product. And then you can't just forget it when you get to the basket page. You've got to make sure that it's being reinforced. And we do.
Yeah, if they're anxious about things like the deliverer, when's it going to come? Like, you know, if it's a big, heavy, bulky item, then, you know, on that basket page, you know, you put a link, you know, you say, you know, fast delivery tracking, live delivery tracking here, you know, it's that sort of thing, you know, but it all depends on what those anxieties are.
Yeah, exactly. If you're selling something huge, then knowing that you can see where your order is at any time means that you can make sure you're at home, so this massive thing arriving, you can be there. Whereas if it's just, you know, a pair of socks, you don't need to track the order as much because you're not that bothered. You think, well, I can just leave it on the doorstep, that's okay.
It's just what you would say to a real person in your shop. You know, if someone was deliberating over whether or not to buy this this wardrobe, this baby grow, this suit, whatever it might be, you know, you'd say, look, don't worry, if you change your mind, you can bring it back at any time, and you can swap it for something else. You know?
Yeah, and it, yeah,
and you'd go, and also, great, okay, well, asking, that's fine.
Yeah,
asking, light, oh, why are we not saying this on the same basket? Yes,
how's that exactly?
You know, so you'd know. So it's like that's what the shopping basket has to do.
Yeah,
it's so obvious. A lot of it's just it's just the way we, you know, it's an emotional thing. You know, it's not any clever functionality. It's just making sure we're hitting those core anxieties and giving people a reason to act now. It's really simple, actually, but it's so easy.
The big trend we're seeing at the moment is, 5 years ago, we said this, that mobile traffic was zooming up. But sales on mobile were not creeping up as much. But now, you're seeing mobile traffic gain a little bit, but the revenue on mobile is massively coming up. The people who are using the mobiles now are much more savvy with them, and they are much more confident buying on the mobile. They are much more reluctant to kind of look at research on the mobile and then go and complete on the desktop. So,
and that's especially for the younger demographic. So the fast fashion in the female, under 25 category, that is, it's huge. You know, but like you say, the traffic volumes of mobile is not growing anywhere near as fast, but the conversion rate is. So people are having comments. We've got to look at that. And obviously, you've only got a small screen, so you've really got to push those anxiety-squashing.
What does the basket look like on the mobile? And I think that we always look at our sites on our desktop because we're at work, and it's difficult to keep remembering that a lot of people are actually seeing it on the basket on the mobile, and that's what it looks like. And there's definitely, when we were doing this 4 years ago, it was like, oh, what's best practice mobile? And it's like, well, you don't know. It's like, this is new. But now there's clear basket best practice and there's clear checkout best practice on a mobile. You know, things like sticky checkout buttons and
Where your thumb is. I mean, I've seen loads of nice things around that. You know, where your thumb is at the bottom of the phone, that's where you need the proceed checkout button. Don't put it at the top on a mobile. You know, put it at the top as well. But it should be where your thumb is. Because if you've got a big phone, have you ever tried to move your thumb up to the top without dropping your phone with one hand?
Yeah.
It's really hard. So,
and I've got the iPhone 11, and it's not as easy to do that screen thing that it used to be able to.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because it doesn't have the button, does it?
Yeah. You should just double-click the button, and it would just come down. But now I've got to do some kind of draggy thing with my thumb, which is, it's not as easy. So, everything's got to be thought about where to put it to make it easy to keep going through to the next step. And, a lot of the baskets we see on the mobile, they put a lot of like branding at the top, like the logo and all the other stuff and the search and the basket. And then like, you don't need that. If you don't need a link at the top to go to the basket, because you're on the basket page, so why would you need it? So you can actually get rid of a lot and push a lot of things up. And then you have more space for things like customers also bought and or whatever that your key anxiety is on the mobile. So it's one thing we're talking about a lot to our customers is getting that mobile basket working and having big images as well.
It's a crucial step, because once you get them into the checkout, what the stats show, 85% of them will buy. So you can almost, bank on them buying when they get into the checkout. So you've really got to focus on getting them into that checkout process. But obviously, you must take the basket. Do not think that you can bypass the basket step and take them straight into the checkout, because that never works.
No.
If you think, oh, I'm going to get rid of it. We've seen that. I mean, there's that famous case that we did for a big wine retailer where we said we wanted to split test to take people to a basket rather than straight into the checkout. And it was a game changer for them, wasn't it? To give them the reassurance.
It did seem like common sense at the time as well, because you had to buy six wines. You had to buy a crate of six wines to check out. And if you're trying to do it with a little pop-down basket, it's like, well, what six wines have I got? And I might want to swap them out. Like, oh, I've seen that in the other one. I'll swap that one. I've got to go and swap that wine. And it was something like £3 million a year just by changing the flow of the site.
And I think that was so obvious. But I think it's also the case, you know, for loads of other, you know, smaller online shops, people want the reassurance to know what's in the basket. They want to see it. Because they've not made the decision yet, you know. Yeah. They want to chop and change, and the people use the basket as a dumping ground. You can really think about why people aren't going any further. You know, people do use the basket as a dumping ground just to save it for later. So I think once you've got right, what are the anxieties we need to really squash? You know, what are the elements of scarcity that we can put in there, and what are the reasons to buy now rather than later, or sooner rather than later? Once you've done that on the basket page, you also need to make sure that all your remarketing that's hitting people is also consistently pushing those things as well. So that's all your Facebook remarketing and all your browser abandonment emails. You know, they've all got to be consistent. I mean, they're really, really important to do and get right. So everything, because remember, people will never buy on their first visit. Very, very rare. You know, they take time. They take time to do it.
They do. So, people do buy in their first visits for certain products, but if they buy in their first visits, great. But we're dealing with a lot of people who don't. And
I mean, I'd say selling contact lenses to the same people every month, then maybe. But even that first journey, that first time that you sold a contact lens, they're still going to go and check out the competition. Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just going through. I've just got a document on basically some of the split tests we've done on baskets in the past, and I just thought I'd mention some of those. And one of them was putting the payment icons on the basket, and that actually you wouldn't really think that would make a change. So like Visa, MasterCard, Amex, those kind of things. But it actually increased the conversion rate of about 5% on the site when we did that. And I think the reason why, once you think about it, is because Visa and MasterCard and those companies, they spend billions and billions of dollars on making sure that those logos are associated with trust. So just by bringing those above the fold in under the checkout button actually starts people thinking that they can trust this site. It makes a big difference just by bringing those logos on.
And I think we've seen that, you know, the emerging technology around payment providers, you know, like Klarna and people like that. Obviously, it's, you know, really important. Apple Pay, certain demographics, you know, Amazon Pay. People really will always favor convenience.
Yeah.
You know, if it's convenient, they'll go it. They'll do it. I mean, we've probably seen it. You know, when you try and find something, you think, oh, what if it's on Amazon? I'll buy it on Amazon because I can't be bothered to get my credit card out.
It's making people see what their preferred payment method is there, and that they can kind of continue with the site, because it's like, oh yeah, they've got PayPal and I just use PayPal all the time, or they've got Amazon Pay, yeah, great, I can just do that. The other split test we did was we're making the product images on the basket bigger, and that increased the conversion rate on the site we're looking at. And the reason for that is because if you think about it, the desirability is in the product. They want the product. So the bigger you make that product, the more you're still in their mind's eye of kind of going, oh yeah, that's it. I want those shoes. I really need those shoes. If you make it small, you're kind of taking them away from that, you know, that need. And therefore they go, oh, maybe I can live without those shoes because they're so small now. I'm not even bothered about them. But, you know, it's the product they want. And so keep it in the mind's eye and as make, especially on the mobile, make it big enough to see what it is. Just going through.
Yeah, definitely.
We've talked a bit about delivery, but a lot of sites seem to kind of go on the basket page and go, oh, we're going to tell you how much delivery is later on, and you're going to have to put your postcode in, and then we might actually decide that we can't deliver to you and all this kind of stuff. So the majority of people who come to the basket page, you will probably be able to work out what the delivery is going to be for them. If you can simplify your delivery matrix to a point where you can have it down as a simple kind of like, oh, it's over £30, it's free, under £30, it's £5.99. It's so much easier to get the sale then, because for everybody, they know exactly how much delivery is going to be. Whereas if you're kind of saying, oh, I can't really tell you how much delivery is, it might be loads.
And even if, you know, if you're doing it to, you know, UK mainland, you know, 95% of your customers are there, you know, put it on, you know, let the other 5% of people suffer, and, you know, don't let them ruin your conversion rate just because, you know, there's like 5% of people in, you know, the outer islands of Scotland.
Yeah,
who are not going to get £5? Just say UK mainland only.
And also, if you don't have live chat on your site, at least have live chat on your basket and checkout pages, because you know they're the people. They're the 10% of people coming to the site that you probably do want to talk to. You know, you could even have a trigger if you really don't want to do live chat. It's like someone puts over a certain amount in the basket. Add live chats, because you know, let's say you're
just like in a real bricks and mortar store. If you saw somebody in your shop who was adding loads of things to the basket, picking something up, putting it down, having a look, really studying the product, you know, look, you go over and say, "Hi, oh, you, this looks like you really love that. You know, do you want any help? Do you have anything you need to know about it?"
Exactly. Like someone comes into your store and you sell, like, I don't know, tea bags, but you also sell Mercedes Benzes. Like, leave the tea bag buyers alone, but if someone puts a Mercedes Benz in the basket, go and have a chat to them and make sure they're all right. Another one is keep bringing your social proof onto your basket. You know, a lot of the product pages have reviews and all that kind of stuff, and then you go onto the basket and you've lost all the social proof, and it's like, well, you know, you still got to convince them that that's the product to go for.
It's so stupid, isn't it? It's so many sites. It's just like a complete blank basket page. Like nothing on it.
Yeah.
And it's the most, probably, well, one of the most important steps. It's probably one of the easiest steps to get right.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And thinking about the flow of the site as well. So if you have got a site which sells, you know, if it's selling women's dresses, right? And people only ever buy one woman's dress, because that, you know, the dress is like £200. They're only ever going to buy one dress. They're not going to go and buy two dresses. You can see this in the stats. It's like, why would you add somebody to the basket? Why would you keep them on the product page? It doesn't make sense. You know, they've added a dress to the basket. You know, that's the one they want to buy. So take them directly to the basket. And then if you think about a site that sells herbs and spices, and then typically people buy, you know, 5 to 6 items, you know, how are you going to get, once they've added thyme to the basket or basil or whatever they want, how are you going to get them to the next herb so they can add that in the most easy way? What's the flow of the website? And the flow of the website could be a very nicely designed basket page where you add it to the, you add the first herb to the top. And underneath, it's like, people who buy basil also buy these herbs and spices, which they can even add just underneath on the basket page, because they can say, oh, I'll just want that much of that one, and there you go. Or you might say, Bowers also bought, so then click on that and have a look at it, and they go. So what is the flow that people go through the site, and how does your site help that? Because you've seen that people will buy in a certain way despite the way the flow of the website is set up. And there you can then see where the rates are optimized, because it's like, well, you know, people buy 3 things, but I'm not doing any. If they buy a shirt, they always buy a tie, or they like to buy a tie. And it's actually really difficult to get from the shirt page to the tie pages. How am I helping them do that? Go, I'm not. It's the same with the navigation. It's like, well, what, or even the category pages. What are people clicking on that's difficult? Why are they clicking on that product at the bottom of the page when they, you know, it'd be much more likely for the top product to be clickable, but they're actually clicking on that one. So make it easier for the routes through the site to be, you know, be sensible. It's like if you were having a supermarket, you're much more likely to get more sales if you put things in the right order, the way people would buy, you know, the frozen things at the end, because they need to add those to the basket just before the checkout so they don't defrost. You wouldn't come into the supermarket and have your frozen stuff there. So why would you do that on the site? So everything's been thought out, hasn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, I suppose, you know, the main stat we're thinking about is the basket to checkout. You know, that's probably, you know, adding to basket. But I think, yeah, you're right. You're definitely right.
Yeah.
So then we're only in, we've got a checklist in the book, haven't we?
It's I've been going through quite a bit of them, and I think we've covered them, not necessarily in the right order, but we've covered most of them. And I think I'm going to be adding this to the course as well in a bit more detail. But it's there's a lot of common sense there, and I think the first start is looking at it.
And you know what? The most important thing is to realize how much money you are leaving on the table here, because this is a money page, you know, and it's one of the easiest ones to get right, because it's actually, you know, there's no real clever tech. It's just its core, you know, messaging in the right place at the right time. And if you could see how much money you were losing on this step.
And you can only find like, that out once you know what it should be. You go, this is what it should be. And if yours was this, how much more money would you be getting a year? And then that becomes quite motivating, doesn't it? Because it's like, and where's that money going? Exactly. It's going to a competitor who's actually getting the sale because they have dealt with those anxieties as they've gone through. But I think we'll leave it there. That's about 25 minutes. Okay. And I think we've covered anything, unless there's anything else you can think of. But I think if you've got a low basket to order or basket to checkout stats, then, you know, just think about what people are doing and what friction you're putting in front of them, and get someone you don't know, or you do know, but they've never seen your site, to go and check out on the mobile and see if they have any questions. If they turn around to you and ask any questions, you know you've got a problem.
Yeah. You know, I think you can summarize it into three major things. Number one, is the basket page helping eradicate the anxieties people have specifically when buying your types of products? Number two, are you adding the element of scarcity there? So, you know, you don't sell out. And then the third one is, are you giving them a reason to buy sooner you know, rather than later with an offer? And I think they're the main ones. And then sort of the fourth one is to put all of this together in a remarketing strategy. So you're following you're following one person around five times rather than five people once.
Yes, yeah, the abandoned cart sequence. Mm. We've done a lot with that as well. Mm. I've done a lot of that.
There's loads.
Awesome.
There. It's what? Yeah. Okay. Good.
Great. Thank you very much, Ian.
You too.
If anybody has not watched our case study video, Naughty People, you need to watch it. I'll put it in the show notes. Go and have a watch at our case study video and see how this all fits together, because there are stuff about the basket in there as well. And I hope to speak to you all next time. Awesome.
Okay.